And let's read a few verses, beginning with verse 6. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll bless us once again as we look into this book, the book of Proverbs. And I pray that you'll give us wisdom as we study this book, that we may have the skill in living in your way as we live here upon this earth until you come again. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe the last thing we went over was verse 4. Chapter 17 is verse 4. Is that right? One who does wrong and speaks wrong will listen to wrong things. Is that right? If you're going to criticize, you'll listen to criticism. And that's basically what it's talking about there. In verse 6 it says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. By the way, the glory, children, is your father's, the Bible says. If you want glory, your glory is your father's. And the Bible also says, children's children are the crown of old men. What is a children's children? Grandchild, right. In other words, the grandchildren are like a crown to their grandparents if their glory is their father's. And so what every young person ought to learn, every young person ought to learn to respect their grandparents. And that's what you ought to put down there. Respect your grandparents. Every young person ought to respect, like we talked about last week, the gray hair was a crown to a person that's lived righteously. And every young person ought to learn to respect that wisdom that is gained through years. Learn to respect your grandparents. Every young person, when they're growing up, loves their grandparents. And many times as they get older, they want to do more things or do other things and forget about their grandparents. Learn to respect your grandparents. Respect them and honor them. And the Bible says you do that, the glory of children will be their fathers. And you'll have glory for respecting your fathers and your grandfathers, or your parents and your grandparents. Look down at verse 7. It says, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. It's interesting to note there the first part of the verse says, excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, a person that is a fool and uses excellent speech just doesn't fit. It doesn't go together. A person who is a fool that tries to speak excellent doesn't fit. Here's basically what it's talking about. A person that lives foolishly but talks excellently doesn't go together. In other words, your walk ought to match your talk. And that's what you can put down right there. Your walk ought to match your talk. If you say one thing and walk a different way, they don't fit. It's not becoming. It doesn't go together. Excellent speech and foolish ways don't go together. You can't, just because you can talk good doesn't make up for the way you live. You might be able to talk spiritual, but it doesn't make up for the way you live. You may know the language, but how are you living? We ought to, our talk ought to match our walk. By the way, look at the next part of the verse there. It says, much less do lying lips a prince. So it's saying the same thing. Now it's saying it in a different way. In other words, our talk ought to match our walk also. First of all, it says, if we're going to talk right, we ought to walk right. If we're going to talk excellent speech, we ought to walk an excellent life. If we're going to talk the spiritual life, we ought to walk the spiritual life. If we're going to talk good, we ought to walk good. The way we walk ought to match the way we talk. But then it says also, what your walk is ought to match your talk, or your talk ought to match your walk. Let me give you an example. For instance, if you call yourself a Christian, then how should you talk? You ought to talk like a Christian. Because if your walk is a Christian, then your talk ought to match up to what you walk. That's what it's saying right here. It's saying a person that is a prince ought to talk like a prince. Lying lips don't go along with a prince. any more than excellent speech goes along with a person that walks foolishly. So no matter what way, if you're a Christian, then the way you talk ought to match up to the way you are supposed to walk. The way you talk ought to match up to being a Christian. Whatever your responsibility is, if you're a Sunday school teacher, the way you talk ought to match what you ought to be. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have a place of responsibility over some young people. And those young people will be looking at you and watching how you talk. And you have a walk already. You have a responsibility. Therefore, your talk ought to match up to the responsibility that you have. If you're a prince, you're expected not to lie, because your talk ought to match the responsibility that you have. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to have the right kind of talk. If you're a deacon or trustee, your talk ought to match up with your responsibility. If you're a bus worker, your talk ought to match up with the responsibility that you have. If you're a mom and a dad, your talk ought to match up to the responsibility that you have. Whatever the responsibility, our talk ought to match it. In other words, we ought to talk right and walk right. So folks are going to say, well, he says he's a Christian, but look at the way he's living. Our talk ought to match our life, and our life ought to match our talk. If we say, I'm a Christian, and we go around town and tell folks that we're saved, and we live like the devil, folks notice that. Folks will notice the way you heard the saying, your talk talks and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so we need to make our walk talk or match up with our talk talk. And that's what it's saying right there in those verses. Your walk ought to match your talk. Okay, let's look down at verse 10 now. Verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now here's what a reproof is. Let me give you the definition of a reproof, and then we'll go over some things in this verse. A reproof is a difficulty that occurs when you violate a Bible principle. Reproof is a difficulty that occurs when you violate a Bible principle. We've gone over this basically before. Everything that we find in the Word of God, every principle that we find in the Word of God, has a consequence that follows it. Everything that God says, there is a consequence that goes along with what the Bible says, or a consequence that goes along with not doing what the Bible says. Everything or every Bible principle has a consequence to it, doing it or not doing it. And every one of us need to realize that. Many times there are those, every sin has a consequence, or every violation of a Bible principle has a consequence. What a reproof is something that God does when you violate a Bible principle. God puts a difficulty in your life so that you can realize that you violated a Bible principle, and so that you can go to God to find out what you have violated so that you can make that thing right. A reproof is something that God builds into his Bible principles to keep us living by Bible principles. That's basically what a reproof is. When you run into difficulty in your life, what you ought to do is search your heart and say, what Bible principle am I violating? What am I doing that's going against the Word of God so that I can escape the difficulties that come as a result of violating the Word of God? So a reproof, there's two things that you can do with a reproof. Now, every one of us, when you violate the Word of God or violate some principle, by the way, that's why it's important to know the principles of the Word of God. There's so many folks that just go through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty and never know why. They don't have no idea what the principles of the Word of God are. And so many folks are actually living in reproofs in their life and eventually living in cursings in their life because they're not aware of what God has said in His Word. The more Bible you know, the greater you can know the principles to live by, and the more reproof you can escape in your lifetime by knowing the principles of the Word of God. So everything we do has a consequence. Doing what the Bible says brings a good consequence. Doing or missing out on what the Bible says, by the way, the Bible says, even he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, well, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, that's sin. If you know you should be doing something, it's sin not to do it. It's just as much sin not to do what you should be doing as to do what you should not be doing. That's still sin. And every sin or every violation of the principle of the Word of God brings reproof or brings consequences. Now, there are two different ways which we can what we can do with reproof. Let me show you one thing that a person can do with reproof. Look back at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof." Now, reproof is something that God sends when we violate a Bible principle. A reproof is a difficulty that we will encounter. So when we get a reproof, here's one thing that you can do with reproof. God says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you." Now, that's a promise of God. God says, when you have my reproof, if you'll just turn to me, I'll make known to you my words. Look at verse 24. "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not on my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." So here's what happens to a person that does not turn to reproof. God says, when you go through reproof, when you go through those difficulties that come as a result of violating my principles, and you turn from my reproof, or you continue in violation of the Bible principles, and you continue in your way, here's what happens. And by the way, it's talking about a fool. Here's how a fool handles reproof. First of all, they ignore the call of wisdom. It's the first thing they do. Verse 22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" Verse 21 said, 20 says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opens of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying." So the first thing that a fool does with reproof is he ignores the call of wisdom. Second thing that a fool does is he violates God's principle. And that's what will always happen when you ignore wisdom. Do you realize that God wants you to live in His will more than you want to live in His will? Matter of fact, He even has wisdom crying out. What is wisdom? Skill in living. Skill in living upon this earth God's way. That's what wisdom is. And God says, I want you to have skill in living more than you want to have it. I've got wisdom set up here calling out for you, trying to get you to listen, calling to you to live. I want you to have skill in living more than you want to have it. God's not trying to fool us. God's not trying to keep us from living in His will. God's will is not some tricky thing that some folks happen upon and some folks miss. If you miss God's will and miss wisdom, it's because you won't listen to the wisdom when God calls. Wisdom comes from His Word. We ought to seek wisdom, and wisdom cries out to us. So the first thing to do is ignore wisdom. Secondly, they violate God's principles. Thirdly, they endure reproof. Instead of turning from that when the difficulty comes, they just go right through and just endure it, and it just keeps getting worse, and more difficulty comes, and they endure it instead of turning to the Lord to find out what they have violated. They endure reproof. Fourthly, in verse 25, they reject God's reproof. They endure it, then they reject it. Verse 26 says, "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." The sixth thing that happened, or fifth thing that happened, calamities come into their life. So I can, first of all, ignore wisdom. Then when I ignore wisdom, then I violate God's principles because I don't know the principles of God, or I violate them because I've ignored the principles or the wisdom that God has given me. Then reproof comes. And so what I do, instead of turning to God, I just endure that reproof. Then I reject God's reproof. And then the calamity will come into my life, or the cursing will come. God's reproof is just a warning of the calamity that's going to come. So when the difficulty comes or the reproof comes, turn to God before the calamity or the cursing comes. Look at verse 27. "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." So now they've gone into calamity, and they still won't turn back. And now destruction comes as a result of originally not listening to wisdom's call, violating God's principle, rejecting the reproof that God has put upon our life. Then calamity will come, and then destruction will come. Look in verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now notice what happens. To begin with, wisdom called. The fool talked about here didn't listen to wisdom. He had a chance because wisdom called out to him. Wisdom says, I want you to have skill in living. I want you to have God's blessings. I want you to have God's blessing upon your life and to live in God's perfect will. I want you to have that. And the person says, well, I don't want that right now. I don't want wisdom now. I will someday, but I don't want it now. When God calls and a person rejects God's call, then they violate a principle of the Word of God. Then reproof comes. They've got difficulty, but they say, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad rejecting God's Word. All the difficulty is just to warn you of the calamity that's to come. And then when the calamity comes, and then they continue on, and then destruction comes, and then they say, I bit off more than I can chew here. Now I want the wisdom that I could have had. And what does God say? Too late. You don't get wisdom when you want it. You get wisdom when wisdom calls. You get wisdom. You don't do God in your timetable. You don't do that. God says, you serve me when I call. You don't serve me when you're ready. You serve me when I'm ready. You don't get wisdom when you're ready. You get wisdom when I'm ready. You don't get my blessings when you're ready. You get my blessings when I'm ready. And so many folks, and I've seen it so many times, when folks will go through reproof, and then they'll go through calamity, then they'll go to destruction, and then they'll try coming to God and say, God, give me wisdom. And God says, you're just going to have to ride out the destruction. You're just going to have to ride it out. And so many folks get discouraged. They don't realize that once you get to the point of destruction, once you get to the point of your life messed up, that you're just going to have to ride out the destruction. And many folks say, well, I'm not willing to ride it out, and they just go back and ruin their life again. You're far better off just getting in the will of God and riding out the consequences of your sin. Because one day, God will bless you again. Just ride out the consequences. You're not going to erase 20 years of sin in one day. The consequences of it. And that's what so many folks don't understand. Well, preacher, I confessed my sins. Well, that's fine, but you still got to reap what you've sown. God's not going to hold you accountable for them, but the laws of nature will. You're going to reap what you sow. It's just automatic. It has to be done. You can confess all night long, but you're not going to escape the consequences of sin. And many folks don't realize that. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then look in verse 31. They endure the consequences of their action. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And then verse 31, last part, be filled with their own devices. They try to find man's way out of it. And that happens many times. Folks will come to the Lord and they'll try him on for a while. And they'll say, man, I've still got problems. Of course you still got problems. Look how much sin you've done. And how do you think you're going to get rid of all the consequences of your sin by coming to church 2 weeks? It's not going to happen. So what do? They turn back to man's devices again. And many times you'll find those that have lived in the consequences of the sin, they must endure their consequences, and then they'll turn to man's devices instead of turning back to God to make things right with him. Then finally in verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Finally, once they've come to the Lord, they've called upon him, and God says you're going to have to just wait, and then they turn to man's devices, and then they're destroyed completely. No hope left. And it happens so many times. Just serve God. Just live for him. When you violate a principle, you better go to God and find out what that principle is. So one thing you can do is you can be as a fool does and despise reproof. And say, well, I don't care. I'm just going to keep on going my own way. You're heading on a road to eventually destruction. And every person goes through the same thing. You've seen it happen before. You've seen people do the same thing. They despise the wisdom when they could have had it. Then they go through the reproof. They go through calamity. They go through the destruction. Then they turn back to God. And God says, you should have turned back to me. You should have turned to me to begin with. Then they ride out their consequences. And then eventually they just say, well, this isn't working. They turn back to man's schemes. No. God's there any time. You can come back to Him and you can start having God work in your life again. But the only way that God's going to work is to build character in your life. He's not going to take away the consequences of your sin, because you'll just be back in the same place all over again. God allows you to go through the consequences of your sin to build character in your life so that you won't go back to the same life again. Just taking away all the consequences and putting you in a new building doesn't take care of all the problems. You see, many times they take folks that have wrecked apartment buildings. So what they do is they build, will make a new environment for them. Build brand new apartment buildings and put those same people in these brand new apartment buildings. And what happens to the apartment buildings within 3 years? They're in the same shape the old apartment buildings were in. Because just putting them in a new environment did not take care of the problem. And that God doesn't work that way. God doesn't say, I'm going to put you in a new environment. God says, I'm going to build character in your life, and you will eventually have a new environment by building the character. God takes care of not just the symptoms. God takes care of the causes of the symptoms in your life. And always remember that. Everything God does builds character in your life. Everything man does lessens character in our lives. We go man's devices, lessens character. Going through the consequences of our sins builds character. And so that's one way to respond. The other way to respond is in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I'll make known my words unto you. God says when the reproof comes, it's not too late to call on me then. Because I'm just sending the reproof to get you back on track. I want you to know what you violated. And God says when the reproof or the difficulty comes, if you'll come to me and you'll say, God, I want to know what principle I have violated, God says, I'll make my word known unto you. Isn't that a good promise from the Lord? God says, I want you in my will. And every once in a while, if you violate my will or violate my principle, I'll send a reproof in there. All that reproof is just to get you back in track again. And when the reproof comes, if you'll just come to me, every time I'll show you where you went wrong. Every time. God says, every time you come to me, after reproof comes into your life, I will reveal to you the principle that you violated. Then all you've got to do is make that violation right again, get back on track, begin living by the principle of the Word of God, and God says, I'll keep sending reproofs every once in a while just to help you out, just so you'll know. And all you've got to do, every one of us will do one of two things when reproof comes. We'll either go to God and say, God, why am I experiencing this difficulty? What in my life have I done to receive the reproof from you? And if I will turn at God's reproof, I can continue on in God's will. If I do not turn at God's reproof, if I reject His reproof, then I'll go to calamity, I'll go to destruction, I'll come to the place where when I want to come to God, God says it's too late now. I'm not going to turn back to you. You're going to have to just ride out your consequences and live that way. And many folks will turn to man's devices and will ruin their lives. So turn at reproof when reproof comes. I've written down there, a wise person learns from the reproofs of life. A wise person learns from the reproofs of life. God reproves us in love to warn us when we're going wrong, to keep us from destroying our lives. And so when the difficulties come because of violation to God's principles, always go to God. Say, God, I violated your principle. Show me where I've gone wrong. And every time, God will show you where you went wrong. All right, let's look back at Proverbs chapter 17 again. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11. By the way, verse 10 says, "Reproof entereth into a more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." God says, even after you get down to the chastisement, a fool won't turn, but a wise man will turn just when the reproof comes. He won't have to go through the consequences of the sin. He won't have to go through the destruction and the calamity. A wise man will return when the reproof comes. Verse 11 says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." An evil man seeketh only rebellion. That word rebellion is found, well, I guess, six different places in the Word of God other than right here. That Hebrew word for the rebellion found here in this verse. Let me show you the times when that word rebellion is found in the Word of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll get an idea of what this rebellion is. 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul had disobeyed God. Many folks will say, well, Saul did obey God. Yeah, he obeyed about 90% of what God said. He did almost all that God said. And God said, when you did almost all that I said, you rebelled. Rebellion is not doing 90% of what God, living for God is not doing 90% of what God said. He said, but all he did is save one man. God said, I want you to destroy them all. Every man. He said, well, maybe he destroyed 10,000 and he only kept out one. That's pretty close to doing all of God's will. Yeah, it's pretty close, but it still fell short. And God said, you saved one man alive when I told you to destroy them all. That's rebellion. Notice in verse 23. Verse 22 says, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Notice that. It says, he rejected the word of the Lord. Say, but preacher, he did almost all of what God said to do. God says, when you do almost all of what I say to do, you've rejected my word. God says, the only way that you can live in my perfect will is to do all that I've told you to do. And when you violate one area, you're living in rebellion. If God told you to do one thing and you said, I'm not going to do it, then you've lived in rebellion. And God says your rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I'll show you in a minute what happens every time rebellion. Every time, this is what rebellion leads to. First of all, God says rebellion has kept you from being king. I've taken away you from being king. God did that to Saul because of his rebellion, because he kept one man alive when God said to destroy them all. How many times have God said something to you, and you said, well, I'll do it all except for this one thing? When you came to a place in your life when you said, I'll do everything except that one thing, from that place on, you've been in rebellion. And God says, I'm going to set you aside. And God, I'll show you in a minute what it happens every time. Look, the second time that this word is found is in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 17. It says, "And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them." Notice rebellion is refusing to obey. "But hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Here, this is talking about the time when they were back had left Egypt. They were traveling through the wilderness, heading towards the promised land. They came to Mount Sinai. Moses had gone up on the mount. The people were left down there for 40 days, and they built a golden calf, or made a golden calf, and began to play their rock music and dance nakedly around that thing and begin to worship that. By the way, that's normally what happens when you play rock music. Same thing happens every time. It begins to control you, and people begin to do things that they wouldn't do normally. Rock music has been proven to control people just like drugs will control people, just like alcohol will control people. Rock music has control over people. And they were listening to their rock music, and they were doing things that they would not normally do, and they were worshiping that golden calf. And God called out, "Who's on my side?" And the tribe of Levi walked across and said, "We're on your side." And he said, "Pull out your swords and wipe them out." The tribe of Levi went through and wiped out all the rebellious people, or those that were in rebellion against the Lord. God doesn't put up with rebellion. Now, there's a lot of things that God will put up with. God is gracious and merciful over many things. But God is not merciful and gracious over rebellion. Look at the next time it's used in Isaiah chapter 30. God said when rebellion comes, you'll be destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. Says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear or hear to obey. Hear the law of the Lord. Rebellion is always disobeying God's word. Which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." Now here's what the rebellious people said. "Don't you preach to us the word of God. Don't you tell us all this hellfire and damnation preaching. Speak to us smooth things." There's many folks that go to church to hear smooth things, don't they? Go to church, they don't want to hear sin. They don't want to hear preaching on rebellion. They want to hear smooth things that doesn't step on their toes. And truth matter is, when you preach the Bible, everybody's going to get their toes stepped on. Because there isn't anybody that's perfect. If you're going to hear the Bible preached, you're just going to get your toes stepped on once in a while. And because every one of us can improve. None of us have arrived yet. God says, these folks, these rebellious people, they want to go to a church where they can hear smooth things. They don't want to hear some preacher get up there and yell and scream and jump up and down and preach hellfire and damnation and preach against the sins of the people. They want to listen to smooth things that doesn't convict them of their sins. And in verse 11 it says, "Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sure to take from fire of the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit." Here's what God said. He said, when you're in rebellion, it's like a huge wall that's just got a little teeny crack in it. And that little crack you may not see right now. And that little crack will just grow little by little. May take days, may take weeks, may take months, but eventually that crack will get to the place where the wall will fall down. And God says, when you fall as a result of rebellion, it'll be like taking a potter's vessel and throwing it down upon the rocks. And as you take up the pieces from that potter's vessel, there won't be anything left that can be used. God says there won't even be a piece left that you can take water out of a well with. There won't even be a piece left that you can take a coal out of the fire with. God says rebellion will lead to being destroyed completely, with no usefulness left in you. God says what you ought to do when the rebellion comes in, you better get rid of that crack in the wall. You better take care of it, because eventually it'll destroy you. You'll come to the place where you'll no longer be used of God, no longer have the power of God upon your life, and be cast like a potter's vessel, no more usefulness, no longer seeing people saved. What a dreadful, horrible life it would be to not be able to see people saved. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to not regularly see people brought into the kingdom of God. Can you imagine what it would be like to no longer be used of God, to no longer be able to have the power of God upon your life, and to no longer be used of God to see people saved? What a wasted life it would be if we couldn't do the one thing that God has put us on this earth to do, is get folks saved. Look, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 23. Bible says, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. The people are saying the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth. What the people are saying is, we can live in our sin, and it hasn't bothered us yet. It's prolonged. There might be judgment coming, but that judgment is way down. I can live in sin, and it doesn't bother me any. I can go on my way, and I haven't been judged for it yet. And these people were saying, look, we're living in our sin, and everything's going fine for us. We've got more money and bigger homes and better cars and faster cars, and we're living good. Nothing's happened to us. The vision is faileth, and the judgment's prolonged. That's what they're saying. Judgment's not going to come to me. It might to somebody else, but it won't come to me. And God says, this proverb is done. You might say you're not going to come to judgment, but you will. Look in verse 25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, same word for rebellion, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. God said, they say that this is way off in the future. Everything's going to be fine for us. We've lived 5 years in our sin. Why can't we go another year? God says, you've gone too long. And now judgment's coming. Why? They were a rebellious house. They wouldn't listen to the word of God. By the way, every time it's talking about those that have rebelled against the word of God. Now here's what God does to those that rebel against his word. Look back in Proverbs chapter 17 in verse 11. Proverbs 17, verse 11, it says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. We've looked at the times in the Bible. The other two times it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27, talking about the Levites that rejected God's word. In Numbers chapter 17, verse 10, it's called rebels, those that rebelled against Aaron and God, and when God used Aaron's rod to bud, it's talking about those that rebelled then. Every time it's talking about rebellion against God and against God's authority. Notice it says, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. The word cruel is a word that means violent. The root word is violent. A violent messenger. By the way, that word messenger, almost every time in the Word of God, is a messenger that is sent by God. Same word that's translated angel. It's what God sends. It's a messenger that God sends. God says, when you rebel against my word, you aren't going to get away with it. God says, I personally am going to take care of it. God says, when you rebel, you will have a violent messenger that will come to you. And God says, I'm the one that's going to send them. So you can count on it. When God says, I'll send them, you can count on it. God will send them. Those that live in rebellion to God's word will always meet a violent end. Always. Because God says, I will send it myself. Personally. Here's what I have simply written down. God repays rebellion. God repays rebellion. It's amazing how those that have lived in rebellion, that have eventually come into the violent end, every time they say, it's not going to happen to me. Just like those in Ezekiel said, well, it's way off sometime in the future. No, don't wear out the mercy of God. God says, I'll make sure that the evil man that lives in rebellion, I'll make sure that he gets repaid because I'll send my messenger to do it. God repays rebellion. Let's look very quickly at verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. The beginning of strife, when you... If you had a big dam and you let a little bit of water out of that dam, it's a lot easier letting the water out than it is stopping the water after it gets started. What God is saying here is strife is easier to start than it is to stop. Fights are pretty easy to start, but they're a lot harder to stop. And what God is saying here is, therefore, leave off contention. Just stay away from them before it be meddled with. Don't even start a fight. Don't even start strife. It's pretty easy to start a fight, but they're pretty hard to stop. So strife is easier to start than it is to stop, or harder to stop than it is to start. All right, we'll finish there this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, bless tonight, I pray, the words that we've seen from your word. Help us to seek wisdom and to have wisdom and to learn from those reproofs in our life, and help us always to turn to you and to your word. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.